The church where a wedding has been lives in a dream. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Father McKenzie writing the words of a sermon which no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning his socks in a night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Maybe the most poignant line in the whole song. Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. All the lonely people. Well, there certainly are a lot of lonely people in the world. As we begin to look online and as we do a little research, we find out that it's a popular topic. A popular topic among psychologists and psychiatrists, and because of the fact that so oftentimes people do suffer from loneliness. In the last 50 years, in this article by Dr. Shana Ali, she says that in the last 50 years that the rates of loneliness have doubled in the United States. You wouldn't think that would be the case with all the communication that we have in the last 50 years. Think about all the improvements in communication, improvements in telephone service, improvements in television and radio and every kind of mass media. And yet, even with all of that, it seems that the rate of loneliness has increased significantly in our country. She said that 35 to 50%, depending on the reporting, I saw a couple different figures, but 35 to 50% of Americans report feeling lonely and feeling left out. 20% feel like they rarely or never feel close to people in their lives. And only 50% of people have meaningful, impersonal, social interactions. And the use of social media does not solve the problem. Studies have shown that those who have heavy social media use, their responses in these surveys are about the same as those who are not social media users. Again, you would think with all of the Facebook, you would think with all of the tweeting, you would think with all of the texting, you think with all the ways that we can connect ourselves to one another in the world today, that loneliness would disappear. But in fact, some of those rates of loneliness appear to be significantly high, even among young people who are heavy social media users. In fact, some studies have shown that social media use makes people more lonely, as they appear to be less connected to meaningful relationships. One thing that we learn as we begin to look, or appear to learn as we begin to look at this topic, of course, is the fact that people can be around other people. And people can be connected to other people and still be lonely. Have you ever been in a crowd and yet been lonely? Well, I'm sure we've all been in that situation. You may be at a party. I can remember one time in high school I went to a party because someone invited me, and I thought this is going to be a whole lot of fun and a lot of kids there that I kind of knew from a distance, but the truth was I didn't know any of them very well, and I just kind of sat there. It was one of the longest evenings of my life. Even though I was in a room filled with people. And so just being around people doesn't mean that we're not lonely. And sometimes people can have people in their lives, and they can have social media friends on the internet and still have a great amount of loneliness, feel loneliness in their lives. Answer these questions. Have you ever felt lonely? Well, I guess we would all answer that in the positive. There's always some loneliness from time to time at different points of our lives. That certainly is not unusual. Is loneliness a regular part of your life? Do you feel isolated from people? Are you jealous or bitter? Does it affect your attitudes? Does loneliness cause you to be bitter or jealous towards others because you perceive that their lives are happier than yours are, more connected than yours are? Have you ever thought of doing yourself harm because of the loneliness that you feel? Certainly got to that level. A serious intervention needs to be there. Can you think of people around you that might be lonely and that might need help? Note these things. You can experience, as we already said, you can experience loneliness even though you're surrounded by other people. Loneliness seems to have more to do with relationships than with the physical presence or non-presence of people. We're all different. We all have different needs, and we all have different emotions about us. Some people like to have lots of friends and like to have a room full of people and noise and things going on. Other people just almost like to be alone. If they have one or two good friends, that's all they want. We had daughters that were opposite in that way. Our oldest daughter, if she had one good friend, that's all she cared about growing up. She had one or two good friends that she was just fine as she could be. And Leanne was always kind of in the midst of a whole crowd of kids around her at all times. And so we're all different about those kind of things, but it has to do with relationships. Steps you need to take to overcome loneliness in your own life. I want to do two things as we go through the lesson this evening. One, I want to talk about loneliness within yourself. So we'll talk about that a little bit. What to do if you feel lonely? What to do if you feel all alone? And then the second thing I want to do is talk about us becoming more aware of those around us who may be lonely. And that may be the most important part of the lesson. Both are important parts. Certainly, if you suffer loneliness, if you feel like you're all alone, it can lead to depression. It can lead to some serious things in your health. And certainly that needs to be corrected. But we also need to be aware. I remember one time when my mother in her older years after my father had passed away. In fact, after I had moved to Florida and before she started with the Alzheimer's and couldn't remember things anymore. But I remember her saying, we were just talking about life generally and how she had done since Dad had passed away. And she just made the statement. She said, it just gets so lonely sometimes. It just gets so lonely sometimes. And those words have always stuck with me. And so living alone, having lost your mate, it can get lonely. And so we need to be watchful. We'll talk more about this, but we need to be watchful of people around us who may be in situations when they're lonely. We get so busy in our lives, I don't get lonely. I don't know about you, and maybe you don't either. Our lives get so filled with things, we look for lonely moments. We look for time that we can just get home and put up our feet and watch a little TV or read a book and just get away from the busyness that we fill our lives with. But for some, it's not that way. And so we need to be looking for those who may need. Some preliminary observations as we talk about this. First of all, don't be too hard on yourself. If you feel loneliness, don't be too hard on yourself. Many have suffered through symptoms of loneliness. Don't think you're strange. Don't think you're weird. Don't think you're out of the norm. You're not. It is a normal process that takes place. It's a normal thing in life. Second, think about the causes, maybe. Consider the cause of your loneliness. Be totally honest with yourself and think about your life and your life situation. It may be very obvious. It may not be quite so obvious. Now, the main thing to remember that God is always near. Open your Bibles. We're going to look at a couple of passages here and just quickly touch on them to remind ourselves of something I think we already know, but to remind ourselves that God is always with us. And that says we should never feel lonely. Now, I know it's different having human companionship and having people around us that we love and that we care about, but in the ultimate sense, we should realize that God is always with us. Now, the passage in Joshua is not talking about loneliness, but it is a passage that reminds us of God's promises. God's promises to be with us. And so in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, really the context starts back a little bit earlier. Begin in verse 7, God is instructing Joshua and says, "Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success wherever thou goest." Those are good words for us. Remember the law. Remember God's instructions. Remember God's teaching. We're going to talk more about Bible study in a moment. But this is something we need to remember. Remember the law that God's given to us. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have a good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not dismayed, neither be not affrighted, neither be dismayed. For Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so remember those promises that God has given to us, whether we're talking about the challenges that Joshua had before him, or whether we're talking about some of the challenges that we face in our lives, whether it be loneliness or temptation or whatever it is that comes before us. Remember that God has promised that he is going to be with us and he's going to make our way prosperous. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to have lots of money in this life or physical advantage in this life, but he's going to prosper us spiritually. He is with us to help us. He is with us to guide us. He is with us to strengthen us. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed, because Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Turn over to the book of Hebrews and look in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, and notice here in verses 5 and 6, here the apostle writes and says, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as ye have, for himself hath said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any ways forsake thee, so that with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do to me? Remember, God's near. Remember, God's near. Remember that God is our helper. The Lord is my helper. I have nothing to fear. The Lord is my helper. I can lean on him. What can man do to me? Now over to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We could read the whole context, but begin at about verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he also, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He didn't mention loneliness, but he could have. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or loneliness, will it separate us from the love of Christ? Is God going to be separated from us because of challenges and things in this life? No. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Remember Elijah. Again, this would be a whole story by itself, but turn over to 1 Kings chapter 18. And again, it is a story in and of itself. But in 1 Kings 18, we remember the story of Elijah. And in chapter 18 is where he challenged the prophets of Baal. God had caused it to stop raining. Elijah had said that God would not allow it to rain except at his word. And Ahab and Jezebel were looking for him. And finally, Elijah allowed himself to be found. And he told Ahab to take the prophets and meet him up on Mount Carmel. And so in chapter 18, we see this challenge. And Elijah said, you build an altar and pray, and I'll build an altar and pray, and the true God will be the one that will send down fire from heaven. And of course, the false prophets prayed and screamed and yelled all day long. And of course, their God did not send down fire from heaven upon his altar, but Elijah prayed, and of course, God sent down fire and destroyed the altar, consumed the altar, licked up the water that had been poured on the altar, all of that, and a great victory. And Elijah went down to the brook, as we talked about in our lesson this morning, and killed the 450 prophets of Baal. And so Elijah had won a great victory. At least God had won a great victory, and Elijah had been a part of it. But we see in the chapter that follows, Elijah goes through some difficult times emotionally, and we might say he's really kind of depressed. And in chapter 19, the first few verses, Elijah's threatened by Jezebel. Jezebel threatens before the day is over to take his life, to do what she can to take his life. And so Elijah, he flees and he goes to the south, to Beersheba, then on further south into the desert. And he says here in verses 4 and 5, he requests of God that he might die. And so in verse 4 it says, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he says, "It is enough now, O Jehovah, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Here he had won this great victory with God's help. And now he's so discouraged, he just wants to die. "Lord, just take my life." Well, the angel comes and doesn't take his life, doesn't let him die, but feeds him and he sleeps. And the angel feeds him again and he sleeps and prepares him for the journey that is ahead. And he takes off on that journey and he continues to travel. And he comes to another place. And we see that in verses 9 through 18, the Lord asks him twice, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In verse 9, he says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And the implication seems to be, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. One time I was traveling in China and went to step out in the hall for some reason for a few minutes. When I came back through, fella I had been talking to was in my bedroom rifling through my stuff. And I said, "What are you doing in here? What are you doing in here?" That's what God's asking Elijah. "What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here." Elijah should have been somewhere else. Elijah was having a pity party. Elijah was feeling sorry for himself. Elijah was discouraged. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever have a pity party? Do you ever feel like that I'm just worthless, I'm useless, there's no reason for me to be here? He had just won a great victory, but now he is really struggling with his emotions. He's struggling with his mind. Again, in verse 13, the question was asked. The Lord asked him, a voice came to him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" What are you doing here? Well, there's a lot in this chapter. But I think what the Lord is showing Elijah, the Lord rends the rocks, and there's a great wind, and all of these things. And it says Jehovah was not in the wind, and he was not in the earthquake, and he was not in the fire, but he was in a still small voice. And I think maybe what God is telling Elijah, here are these big things like wind and fire and earthquakes and all of these things, and God's not there, but he's in this voice. Elijah, there can be great things and there can be small things, or seemingly small things. And you just did great things, but I have some other things for you to do. I have some other things for you to do. I think that's the message to Elijah in this. I've got some things for you to do. In fact, in verses 15 through 18, he tells him some things he wants him to do, and he sends him off to do them. And the lesson I want to take from this is that sometimes we get discouraged and we feel lonely and we feel useless and we feel like we're not worth anything. And loneliness can make us feel that way. But God has things for us to do. I don't care who we are. God has things for us to do. God has people for us to invite to church. God has people for us to set an example before. God has work for us to do in our families. We may never see the end result, but God has things for us to do. Don't become discouraged. Don't become disheartened. Elijah was discouraged and felt all along, but God was not done with him yet. And he's not done with us. Well, steps that we can take. If we're feeling a little bit down, what steps can we take? We'll go through these quickly. One, we need to get into God's Word. It'll remind us, these passages. As we get into God's Word and we read stories like Elijah and other stories, it reminds us that God's not done with us yet. And there's things that we can be doing, and there's work for us to do, and God has designs for us in our lives. And so get into God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that God's Word is inspired and is profitable for teaching and reproof and for correction, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It'll, no matter where we are in our Christian walk, no matter where we are along the path, God's Word is there to encourage and to build us up and to equip us for His work. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness come through a knowledge of His will. We get discouraged. We feel lonely at times, but God's Word is there to strengthen us. God's Word is there to help us. God's Word is there to remind us of His will. Talk to God. Don't forget prayer. No matter where you are in your life or what you're doing in your life, do not forget prayer. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him in prayer. And nothing be anxious, but in everything, talk to God about it. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, not some things, but in everything. Are you discouraged? Talk to God. Are you hurting? Talk to God. Your challenges in your marriage? Talk to God. Your challenges with your children, talk to God. Are you lonely? Talk to God. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number three, take the initiative. If you're lonely, take the initiative. Don't sit back and wait for others. Don't sit around and have a pity party because you're lonely. Don't sit around and say, well, no one ever has me over. No one ever has us over. No one at church likes me. Well, that's not true. But you take the initiative and you do the inviting and you have a Bible study in your home or have a singing in your home or have some folks over to play some games in your home and spend time with one another and get to know one another and grow in your relationships one with another. But take the initiative. Don't sit around and feel like you're all alone. Number four, get involved in other people's lives. Not only take the initiative to get to know one another, but get involved in the lives of others. And we're going to talk more about this in a moment. But you go visit the sick. Look on the list of those who are sick and those who are shut in and go visit them. Get involved in their lives. It'll help them and it'll help you. Send cards, send notes, send emails, communicate in some way. Ask for the preachers or ask for some of the brethren who've been around for a long time to give you some guidance about people that maybe you can have contact with or maybe that are especially in need. And we're going to talk about that this evening also. Number five, attend every service of the church. Don't miss any opportunity to be with God's people. Don't sit at home. Make yourself get out of the house. Go up and introduce yourself. You don't know somebody? Go and introduce yourself to them. Embarrass yourself if you have to. I've done that many times. I've met you before, but I cannot remember your name. I'm really sorry. Tell me your name again. And have a visit with them. Get to know them. Spend time with them. Get to know one another. And number six, get help. Loneliness can lead to depression and to other serious medical and health challenges. Especially, and we asked that series of questions at the beginning of the lessons, if you have ever thought about doing harm to yourself because of loneliness, you certainly need to talk to someone. Talk to your doctor. Talk to someone who can help you. Talk to brothers and sisters. Do not suffer these things alone. There are people available to help and able to support. Who are some that we might consider? Now, I've been focusing on what you can do about your own loneliness, but let's talk for the last couple moments here about others, thinking about others. Who are some that might be vulnerable to loneliness among us? Well, the elderly, especially those, of course, who live alone, those who are widows or widowers who have lost their mates, as I mentioned before, about what my mother said about life just gets so lonely at times. We need to be thinking of others. Those who are long-term sick, those who are shut in, those who are not able to get out. I think these are the obvious ones. We would all pick these out pretty quickly as those who might get lonely. Some who have lost loved ones and are battling through, and it gets to be a combination of sorrow and loneliness and other things, sometimes guilt, all kind of feelings that people have because they have lost loved ones, lost a husband, lost a wife, or lost children, or lost a mother, or lost a father. Sometimes it's an individual that she's married or he's married, but they were very close to mother or dad. Some sons talk to their fathers almost every day, two or three times a week, even when they're grown. Something happens to dad and they really miss him. Their confidant, the one that they trusted in, is gone. Or daughters with a mother, things such as that. And so someone who has lost a loved one, lost a mother, lost a father, we may not realize what a hole that has left in their life. And so we need to be watchful for those and get to know them and help them. Stay-at-home moms can be lonely. For adult companionship, well, they have the little ones around all the time. But sometimes they need a break from that, and they just enjoy having an adult conversation. Right, moms? And so stay-at-home moms. New families to our community. Sometimes people move to a new community, and we should latch on to those people if they come and visit us at church and get out to see them quickly, spend time with them quickly, and invite them back and to give them a spiritual family to connect to. But people move to a new area, away from family, away from friends. It can cause, until they meet people, it can be difficult for them. College students away from home, they're surrounded with thousands of kids in college. But they may actually experience loneliness. And almost anyone, depending upon circumstances, can feel loneliness. Now, I'm actually going to do something tonight I've never done, and that is put some names up here for us to look at. But certainly not in a critical way. There are different categories here that we might look at. In fact, a couple on the list are here tonight. I hope they don't mind that. But we have different categories. We have some in our number that are just sick a lot. And some of these I could have put in more than one category. But we think of Ron and Glenda Burkhalter and Alice Falkenham and Leonard and Mary. Some of these are ones that do get out. Leonard and Mary were here this morning, but they're really limited how much they can get out because of just how they feel much of the time. Jerry Stanfield and Janine Price are going through chemo treatment still for cancer. They are limited at how much time they can get out and what they can do, although they still do get out. Paul and Patty aren't really shut in, but because of his injuries, it's just so hard for him to get around. They don't get out a lot. They stay a lot at home. And they would appreciate a visit to get to know people better. Obviously, Ron and Dixie. Dixie hadn't been out of the house in months that I know of, maybe years. Her health has been so bad. And Sid and Marianne, obviously, still not able to get out. And once they even get out occasionally, they're hoping to get out soon. But they're going to be very limited. Their getting out is going to be very limited, maybe occasionally to services if someone can pick them up. And then those who live alone. Jean Beaver, Melba, Francis, Gloria, Ken, Marge, June. As we said, a couple of these are here this evening. They live alone. And maybe they don't suffer loneliness, but maybe more than we think they do. That was Mother's situation. She was out to church every Sunday for years and years and years. She never missed a service. And I don't think most of the people that attended where she did would have said, well, you know, Dorothy's someone we need to go by and see occasionally. A few people did, but not very often. And they've been friends her whole life. And I'm not being critical of anyone. I'm just saying that she talked about how lonely it got. And so even though we sometimes don't think about people who are able to get out, like Marge and Gloria and Ken, and some of them, they get out and they come and go, but still much of their day is spent by themselves. And so let's remember all these people. Let's remember all these people and do what we can to aid and support. Final reminders tonight. Get your songbooks out. We're going to sing a song. Remember the one another passages that we studied. And we've studied a number of times. To love one another. and to edify one another, and to admonish one another, to bear one another's burdens, to comfort one another, to serve one another. And there are many more. This is just six, and there's about 15 of them. And we've studied this because it emphasizes for us the relationship that we have, the one another. We are one another. We are brothers and sisters in the body. And whether we're talking about loneliness or depression or hurting or sadness or sorrow or loss of, no matter what particular topic we may be talking about, as these things come into people's lives, we are a family. And you're very good about reaching out to each other. So tonight is just a reminder. Let's not forget those who may be lonely and need us more than we have given to them. Remember Matthew 24, when Jesus had the sheep and the goats before him, and he separated one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And Jesus said to the sheep on the right hand, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was sick and in prison and you came unto me. And the righteous said, Lord, we don't remember doing that to you. And Jesus said, when you did it to one of these least of my brethren, you did it to me. Loneliness is not on that list, but it could be. When I was sick, you came to me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was hungry, you came to me. When I was lonely, you showed up to spend time with me and to help me and to encourage me. And so let's remember Matthew chapter 24. When we do these things to the least among us, we do them to the Lord. Let's serve one another as the Lord would have us to serve one another. Let's sing the song of encouragement that Steve has picked out this evening. We don't want to pass any opportunity for any who are here that need to obey the gospel, or if they have some challenge in their life that they want help with, to either confess wrongs or to ask for the prayers of this group. Whatever your need may be tonight, let that be known while we stand and while we sing.
Jesus, the loving shepherd.